Are you blessed?
Yes. Yes, amen.
We'll get my sound correct in a moment. Thomas, I heard the organ at least twice, maybe three times today. Soon I'll hear it on every song. You know, we prayed and stood, and many times I would encourage you, look at the organ and call in our organist. Well, Brother Thomas responded to the call of the Holy Spirit, and he's playing, and he gets that volume just a little bit more, I'll be able to enjoy it more. But if you haven't, I don't know why I'm ringing. Somebody must have left a mic too close to the speakers on the stage. In case you haven't noticed, our pizzicata is a little andante. We need a drummer. I don't like our pizzicata being andante, so begin calling in an anointed drummer. They don't have to be the best at the beginning, but they will be in a short period of time. We need somebody who can keep time and not try and... The drummer is the timekeeper for the music. They're not the time setter. And some drummers want to set the time rather than keep the time. My watch keeps the time. It does not set the time. Yes. And we need guitarists, brass, wind instruments to make a joyful noise to the Lord. If you've been hiding your talent and you have an instrument you can play, I was blessed to see Julie come out joining in the music. She is also a good pianist, and we'll find a way to take advantage of that. But come and bring forth your talent and combine it together under Brother Richard and Michelle and make a joyful, beautiful, harmonious praise to our God. The men of valor have put notes in your hand. I'm not sure how far we'll get. For those of you who are inquisitous, 2 weeks ago I went in for a two-hour procedure to check my right heart operation. So they put in a right catheter in my neck. That's why there's a bandage here. They put a Swan catheter in, ran it into the heart, but they couldn't take measurements on my heart because the fluid on my body was so great. Some of y'all will remember I'd been walking around like I was 9 months pregnant, and I couldn't even get my coat closed. The doctor said, "You've got so much fluid retention, we can't measure your heart operation. So we're admitting you to the hospital immediately." I said, "Wait. I don't get a warning?" "No, you don't get a warning. You're being admitted immediately." And I spent the next couple of weeks in the hospital. I lost 54 pounds. And now I'm in the process of getting back up to the 215 range because I got down to 163 one day, and it's been hovering around 165, 167, and that's ridiculous. So I've got to get it back up. And if you're wondering what is hidden beneath my coat, that is a pump, and it's pumping Melodrone into my heart to make my heart squeeze harder. They're trying to train my heart to operate at a higher level, but I don't need it to operate at a higher level. I'm praising God for the manifestation of my new heart. Yes. Because God has given me a new heart. Yes. But the doctors were amazed at the ability of my kidneys to produce at the rate they did, because my medical file said I had kidney failure. And finally, the heart doctor came in one day and he said, "If you have kidney failure, I want your kidneys." But you see, God brings you through each and everything. Now, why there wasn't an instant miracle, I don't know, but my lungs have survived lung failure. My liver survived liver failure. My kidneys have survived kidney failure and are producing at a rate that my doctor is jealous of. And my new heart is manifesting. And as you keep praising God with me, you become a part of the living testimony. Because I rejoice when I go visit St. David's or go to Dr. King's office and they tell me, you know, there's no medical reason for you to be alive. I don't need a medical reason, church. I've got a promise. If you'll keep your eyes on the promise and not the medical evaluations, you can overcome any prognostication of doom and despair that's arrayed against you. A daily part of your routine should be Isaiah 54:17. Roy, we cast down every tongue that rises against us in judgment. And we, that's us, call it null and void of effect, decreeing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That is your inheritance. Work it. Because you don't know what jealous fool is saying things about you that you don't need in your life. You know there are idiots in the church? That's capital I, idiots in the church, who actually pray, God bring them down to teach them something. God doesn't answer that prayer, but the devil is just waiting for that fool to open their mouth. You stop it. You break it. Suzanne, from me and my household, we are free. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen. Since that's your inheritance, spend it richly. Yes. Get it out there. Let everybody know. The message today pursues a message that the praise team was working, that Brother Joel came to exhort and encourage us to last week. How many of you were in the assemblies last week? Were you blessed?
Yes.
Were you encouraged?
Yes.
There is a place for you to serve. And it don't have to be here or there. There is a place for you to serve where you can enlarge the body and spread the kingdom influence in all the earth.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Matthew 28:18-20. And Yeshua came up to them saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. All authority and dominion, kingly rule to launch and maintain the kingdom of God. Do you realize that the resurrection was the launching of the kingdom? And following the resurrection was his coronation as he presented his blood to the Father, was seated at the right hand of God, and the work as he said at the cross. Going into the cross, he said, it is finished.
Yes.
He didn't say it's finished when he came out of the grave. He didn't say it's finished when he sat down at the right hand of God. He decreed the end from the beginning. What is finished? Satan's rule. An ability to keep a child of God captive. What is finished? The fall of Adam. All the sin and evil that came in. The sting of death. The prison of the grave, the interment to Hades, it's all finished. All that wrath towards mankind is broken if you believe and receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as your Lord and your King.
Yes.
Go therefore. The word therefore is underlined. And the reason it's underlined is the same as Dr. Hagin used to say. Look at the therefore and recognize what it's there for. He just explained to you that all power and authority had been given to him. The word therefore here is your delegated authority. Go, therefore. Because all authority has been given unto me, when you became a born-again child of God, you became one with the anointed Redeemer. Now that boggles the mind to stop and think, Gail, that I am one with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
He is the firstborn of many brethren. Hello, brethren, 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 brethren. Look at somebody near you and say, hello, brother. We're all brethren. When you decree his lordship, you come under that lordship, and Raymond, we become a part of that lordship. That means we can rule and reign in life as kings and priests unto God. Wait, isn't that scripture? Napoleon, we can rule and reign in life as kings and priests unto God. Well, Pastor, I want me a throne and I want me a scepter and I want to tell people what to do. When you start telling the devil what to do, then you can work up to people. And you tell him what to do. Get this trash off of my body. Get your stinking hands off of my finances. Let my daughter go. Let my son go. Let my brother go. Just get your hellacious self out of my face. Excuse me, must have been a non-tither driving by. Go therefore and make disciples. The word disciples is not a title, it's a description. Please understand this. The word disciple is not a title, it's a description. The word disciple means learner or student. Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you learning and studying him so that you can grow in him? And make students, learners, disciples of all people groups, immersing them into the name of the Father. What does it mean to be immersed into the name of the Father? That means to be taught. It's not talking about water baptism here. The church has stolen the authority of this passage by making it something you say when you dunk them under the water, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the name of the Father? It's not talking about a recipe for dunking people in water. Religion has made it that. This is a declaration to us of what we're to teach. Teach what the name of Jehovah, Lord of hosts, means. What does the name Jehovah, Lord of hosts, mean to you? Immersing them into an understanding of what does the name Yeshua, HaMashiach, mean? Anointed Redeemer. Immersing them into the name of what the Holy Spirit is. Jesus named him at the Last Supper, some people call it, but it was not the Last Supper. It was the first supper of kingdom authority. It was a prophetic meal because as he did all these things, he was doing them to represent what would come on the other side of the cross. So it was not the Last Supper. And somebody contacted me recently and said, I want to paint the Last Supper for you because I know how special it is. I said, do not do it. I don't want the Last Supper. It's a piece of trash. There's no record of Jesus saying, okay, boys, all of us get on one side of the table for the picture. It didn't happen that way. And it was not the Last Supper. It was the issuance of the kingdom of God, covenant relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and us. When you take communion, you enter into his death, burial, and resurrection. But you enter into the divine family by faith, and you become an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. It is not the Last Supper. It's the beginning of your covenant contract.
Yes.
When I go buy a new car and we sign the contract, I don't go, well, that's the end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. And your contract was signed in blood. He said, this is my blood. This is my body. Pastor, why did he want us to... Now, I am not a teacher of transubstantiation. That again is a piece of religious garbage. Papal stupidity that says the moment you drink that, it becomes blood. And the moment you eat that, it becomes flesh. No, 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 no. It is a constant reminder of the blood and the flesh that by contract makes me one. And the reason I take it in is so I understand it's becoming a part of me. I don't look at it. I don't wave at it. I don't pass by a glass box that it sits in. I get it into me so that it dawns on me. Wait a minute. I'm taking in the victory. I'm taking in the healing. I'm taking in the salvation. I'm taking in the Redeemer. Yes. Now I am assimilating Him into my life. Amen. Communion, contrary to Steve Harvey, is not a church ritual. It is not a ritual at all. It is a celebration of victory accomplished. Amen. Teaching them to observe. It doesn't say getting them wet. This whole passage is about teaching people who God is, who Messiah is, who the Spirit of Truth is. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, the word lo there does not mean, lo, I'm with you. A guy said to me one day, I don't fly on airplanes because God said, lo, I'm with you always. And if he ain't with me on high, I'm not getting up there. It's L-O, not L-O-W. Lo meaning behold, to look, to see. In other words, in current vernacular, he said, check it out. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. As long as this dispensation continues, I am available to you. I am with you. And communion keeps us in total remembrance of our integration. Yes. The Great Commission was not about soul winning or making converts or getting people to pray the sinner's prayer. The commission was to make disciples and to teach them the message of our Redeemer and the kingdom of God. There is a place for you to serve this purpose. Now, some people will serve it in mass. Other people will serve it over a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, a donut. Oh, God. Round Rock. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. What does that mean to you? It should mean this. Seek first the furtherance of His kingdom and the spread of His righteousness into all of mankind. And when I am doing His job, He will take care of my needs. But seek first the spread of His kingdom and the spread of His righteousness and the establishment of His rule in the earth and then everything else that you want, food, clothes, houses. I've found the more I serve people, the more blessed I get. A couple of people weren't paying attention, so let me say it again. I've found that the more I serve people, the more blessed I get. Until right now, wealth hunts me down. I'll go out and do something for somebody, and the next thing I know, here it comes. A few definitions of what we're talking about today would be helpful. What is outreach? Reaching outside the church circle or community of faith to recruit the unredeemed. Become the church without real estate. You see, normal religion teaches you, go out there and get them sinners and bring them in here. No, take the church to them. You don't need the real estate. You need the reality. I wish I'd remembered to bring Bob Dylan's song this morning. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Every day you're serving somebody with what comes out of your mouth, either God or the devil. There is no in-between ground. Evangelism, to present the gospel, the good news of the New Testament, in a manner that evokes change and alignment to new covenant truth. You're telling people not stories, not anecdotes. You're telling them how life in the kingdom operates, the benefits of it. I shared with you a moment ago what God is doing in my life. I've gone from kidney failure to kidneys my doctor wants. Amen. How do you do that? You get up every morning, you say, Father, I thank you that you have sent your word and healed me, and you have delivered me from all destructions. With his stripes I was made whole. Well, Pastor, how many times do I have to say it? Shut up, fool, you are not worthy of saying it. If you're worried about what it costs you, you're not worthy of his healing anointing. Your conscience is to be what it costs him. Pastor, why do you say things that are so cruel as that? Because you remember them, dummy. Now, I wasn't talking to everybody. I was only talking to the people that were offended. If you were offended, you're a dummy because I'm using a practical way to make you remember. It is a fool who asks, how many times do I have to say it? I don't care how many times I have to say it. I've been decreeing it for 9 years. And gradually, everything is changing. I wanted a spot-on right-now miracle. But you see, a healing is not a miracle. A miracle is instantaneous. A healing takes place. Jesus laid hands on one person and said, and he began to mend from that very hour. I am mending. Decree that you are mending financially, spiritually, emotionally, maritally, whatever realm has been attacked in your life, decree I am mending. Yes, we would all like to have a miracle. We'd like to kneel down and say, oh God, straighten him out. Jerk the slack out of him. Make him love me and love you more. And then walk out of the bedroom and go, Shazam, something just came over me, and I love you, baby. The chances of that happening are like unbelievably low. But you'll begin to notice a difference in him or her. You'll begin to notice a difference on the job when every day you decree that job. Job, you are a method through which my God is enriching me. You will line up with godly principles. And watch God change the whole workplace. Your declaration caused you to rule. But there's another declaration. You're getting ready and you look in the mirror. And ladies, you may be putting on makeup. Guys, I hope you're not. But you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, today you will tell someone of the goodness of the Lord. Today you will give another person a reason to hope. Today you will help change someone's eternal destiny. Well, Pastor, who is it? I don't know. You may sit down beside someone on the bus. You may sit down beside someone on the airplane. You may have someone come over and go, is that chair taken? And they want to sit down and eat their lunch at your table. And you go, yes, please be seated. Isn't it wonderful the great things our God has prepared for us to enjoy? Yes. You're sharing a meal. Use that meal as a platform to tell them about Daddy God. What if they want to hear? You'll know it as soon as you say that. They'll find another table or they'll start talking. Either way, you won't waste your time. Discipleship, line upon line indoctrination in the message and ministry of the anointed Redeemer. Immersion in truth to re-educate and redirect the new believer's life. Can I stop here? You cannot educate an unbeliever. Stop trying to convince Uncle Frank of the Word of God. If you have a relative, a friend, a neighbor who you're having trouble getting through, begin to pray this. Father, I pray that the eyes of their understanding be open. Satan has blinded them from the truth, and I curse that blinding and decree their eyes are open and they are receptive to the truth. I have met people who said, for 15 years I've been trying to convince them of the truth of God's Word. For 15 years, you've been an idiot. Your Bible tells you Satan's job is to blind people to the gospel. How are you going to tell a blind person, turn on that switch over there? I mean, what kind of fool would tell a blind person, find that light switch over there and turn it on? If they've never been there before, they're going to have a heap of trouble finding it. And people who are spiritually blind, it's the same way. If you witness to someone and it was like, they didn't get it, then begin to pray. Daddy God, I pray that the eyes of their understanding be open. I curse the work of Satan that has blinded their eyes, and I decree their eyes are now open to the gospel, and they will receive. Don't beat your head against a wall of resistance. Be a smart believer. Read your new covenant before you try and get someone else to read it. So you know every answer you're going to need is already in there. I know the Word of God says there's a veil over the Jewish individual's eyes, and so we all know that if we're going to witness to a Jewish person, we've got to pray that the veil be rent and their eyes be opened, because they by curse cannot understand the message of salvation or of our Lord and Redeemer. So when you're witnessing to a person of Jewish heritage, you first pray that the veil be rent and their eyes be opened. But when you start witnessing to a person and you begin to tell them about God and you can see their eyes glass over, and you know they just left the room. Their body may still be there, but they just left the room. And they didn't go to their happy place. They went to their whistle in the dark and pretend this isn't happening place. Then you know they've been blinded. Part of my ministry is to open the eyes of the blind. So I go to prayer. I get their eyes open. Now when I witness to them, they go. Because now you've challenged them, they've got to think about it. They can't just let it go. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Because he is risen, your commission is intact. You're supposed to spread his name in all the earth. The followers of Yeshua are called to enlarge the kingdom of God. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Do not let the word preach there baffle you. Well, Pastor, I'm not called to preach. The word preach there is also defined proclaim. It simply means to put it out there. And he said unto them, go into all the world and put it out there, the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. Pastor, how do I qualify for that? You go, I decree that Jesus the Christ of Nazareth came in the flesh, died for my sins, was raised from the dead for my justification, is seated at the right hand of God making intercession for me, and he is Lord of all that I will ever encounter in my life. In my name they shall cast out demons. That doesn't mean you go, in Jesus' name, demon, come out. It means, in his name means I'm representing what he would do if he was here. They will speak with new tongues under the empowerment of receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They will remove serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Signs accompany the believer as they do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 tells you the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Enlarging the kingdom, leading people into and under the lordship of the anointed Redeemer. It is never getting people to pray the sinner's prayer. It is never getting people to say, I'm sorry for all my sinful deeds. And in ultra-religious circles, now you need to name every sin. That's some fool who's living vicariously through your life. You're not saved because you repent of sin. In the word repent meaning, I'm sorry. You're saved in turning away from sin to embrace God as your new source of life. Yes. Repent does not mean I'm sorry. It means I surrender. To accomplish this charge to the church, the Lord opened the way to empowerment. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power there is also translated authority. I know some people like to specialize in going, well, dunamis is the word from which dynamite receives a name. God didn't call you to go all over the world exploding. God don't want you to blow up. He wants you to grow up. And there was about 2,000 years between the word dunamis and the word dynamite. When Nobel invented dynamite, he thought of the most explosive name he could give it. And you will receive divine kingly authority to operate as a kingdom representative. And so he named this explosive product dynamite after dunamis. But dunamis was not named after dynamite. And you will receive the authority Adam fell from as a direct descendant of God, possessing God's DNA when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You shall witness to others of who and what I am. In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even unto the remotest parts of the earth. Our work is explained in the ministry of Peter. Peter said to them, repent. Change your mind about what matters in life. Change your mind about who you are. Change your mind about who God is. Change your mind about what you're supposed to be doing. And each of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if you'll make the mind change, we can disciple you. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, make a change of mind. Baptize, immersed in the name, Redeemer, Anointed of God, and all that name entails. For the promise is for you, the first generation under Christ, and your children, and for all who are far off, that's to all generations. As many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Now stop right there. Your commission does not give you the right to blindly witness. Amen. You can harden someone to the gospel by going to them too soon. We will witness to no individual until it's time. What were those brothers' names that used to say that about wine sitting on the front porch? We'll serve no wine till it's time.
Ernest and Julio Gallo.
No, it wasn't the Gallo brothers. Nobody would drink that stuff. Huh? Bartles and James. We will serve no wine till it's time. That's what this verse says to you. We will not serve the wine of the Holy Spirit until it's time. We'll get a witness that they are ready. We'll get a witness that it's time. Or we'll get a witness to intercede for them so they'll be ready at the time. But a lot of people think I'll just run down the street with a handful of tracts and stop everybody I meet and tell them they need to be born again. El Dumito. This verse plainly tells you God is the one who sets them up. You get to cast a net, but he makes sure the fish is in the right spot for the net to grab them. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. The same Spirit will lead you. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call to himself. But Pastor, we already said that. I want to make sure you get it. The Holy Spirit of truth living in the believer, which he brought about in Christ. That sentence pertains to this verse. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also in the one to come, and put all things, if you underline, and put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. If he is the head, you're the body. When he put all things under his feet, he put them under Richard's feet. He put them under Roger's feet. He put them under Napoleon's feet. Are you listening, church? We are his body. If it, the world system, is under his feet, it's under ours. We're to be immersed into and clothed with our Lord and King so much so that we are daily cognizant of the fact that I am his child. I am clothed with him, I'm immersed into him, and his covenant blood is in me. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Pastor, I don't get it. How did getting dunked in water clothe me with Christ? It didn't. The immersion into the name of Christ got you clothed with Christ. When I knew who the Anointed Redeemer was, what he came to accomplish, what he triumphed over, how it pertains to me, and that I am equal to him in the earth, then I am clothed with Christ, and it is no longer I that lives, but the Anointed Redeemer who lives in me.
Yes.
You see, all of them verses make sense when they're taken in context. When they're bumper stickers, you just go, I don't get it. Make sure people understand what you're saying. Break it down. He is Lord of all, whether in or out of His kingdom rule. He is Lord of those who have subjected themselves to His kingship, but He's also Lord of those who hate Him. They just don't know He's Lord. You have to demonstrate it to them. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. He is Lord of the dead. What does that mean? It can mean a couple of things. Dead because you're not born again, or dead because you died in faith expecting the promise of the resurrection. If you died under His lordship, you're still in it. If you're rejecting His lordship, you're still subject to it. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. If all the fullness of deity dwells in Him, it dwells in you in bodily form. Work what you got. Activate that power that was given you. Too many people are getting saved, and not enough people are getting born again. Saved is a prayer. Born again is an indoctrination. Outreach can be the most effective when it is standing on common ground or shared interest. I want you to begin concentrating. The reason I brought Joel in, one of the many reasons, was so he could show you what they have been able to do using motorcycles as a common interest. Now it has gone beyond motorcycles to many other people who are not motorcyclists, but know a motorcyclist and got witnessed to by motorcyclists. And now they're all kingdom, whether on two wheels or four. God may call you to the 18-wheel ministry. God may call you to the hot rod ministry. God may call you to the tennis, golf, knitting, cooking ministry. But anything that you can do and enjoy doing, you already have common ground with other people who enjoy doing it. Now, because y'all share a common interest, you can easily use that platform to tell them about God. I'd like to see every person in this church body develop a circle of influence. Well, we're all geeks. Hey, now you got something in common with other geeks? Tell them about the Lord. I'm a motorhead. Well, there are other motorheads. Begin to get active in that and share it with others. I'd love to see the day that our parking lot 1 week is filled with custom motorcycles. Amen from you, Brother Roy. Amen, Brother Bob, Brother Richard. And then on alternate weeks, it's filled with hot rods. As we establish our new campus, we'll make the parking lot available to believers who want to use it as a platform to draw others in. Now that you've got them in, you can start witnessing to them and sharing them with them the love of God. While they're out there, we set up a booth with ice-cold water and maybe ice-cold watermelon that we're giving away. They come over and get refreshments and a little extra. By using a shared interest, such as cars, motorcycles, Napoleon bikes, golf, tennis, cooking, etc., the believer and the unbeliever share a common interest and language to begin from. The door has already been opened through your shared interests. The door has already been prepared. Now you get to do what you enjoy doing. Motorcycles, cars, whatever. You get to do it and tell everybody it's for the gospel. played 18 rounds, witnessed to five people, saw two receive the Lord. I'm up for another 18 tomorrow. You see, God wants to be a part of your fun life as well as your church life. Having something in common with people you're trying to reach opens the door to the gospel. The common interests you have or share with the person you're wanting to evangelize, evangel meaning the gospel, lize means to have treated them with the gospel, opens the door to more and easier dialogue. Evangelism and outreach should be approached as a lifestyle, not just something you are compelled to do. Every child of God, every born-again believer is called to evangelism and outreach. Begin thinking, I am the church without real estate. Marcia, there's somebody that needs to see the church, not the church door, the church steeple, the church pulpit, the church. If your heart is not in evangelism and outreach, it will become a burden rather than a blessing. So first you've got to understand why I'm doing it and what I benefit by doing it and how I please God through doing it. Outreach and evangelism is about sharing the joy, hope, and expectation of fulfilling God's love to mankind. Don't let me ever catch you telling somebody, if you were to die this very moment, do you know where you'd spend eternity? God died to keep you from going to hell. He did not. He died to empower you to lead others to heaven. So if you lead them, you're going there. But you're not going empty-handed. You don't want to show up at the gates empty-handed and have Peter go, what rhymes with bye? If you do not have his heart, how can you share his heart with the world? And that's why a lot of people have been turned off, because the person who witnessed to them didn't have the heart of God, and so they came to condemn them. And they start out with, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank you for reminding me. I've been trying to forget what I did. No, we come with the good news, not the hell is hot and you're going to burn forever, you foolish sinner. No, give them the good news. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads people to repentance, not judgment, damnation. If you scare the hell out of somebody to get them into heaven, they'll not make it. Making disciples of the Redeemer is an ongoing process that begins with the word go. You've got it on your bulletin today. You've got it in the message today. Your job assignment as a born-again child of God is to enlarge the family, enlarge the kingdom, bring someone the hope that you have, share with someone the joy that you've experienced. Don't start out with, it's hard being a Christian. You're persecuted, you're despised, you're disliked, but it'll get you somewhere. Yeah, the loony bin. I want you to know this. My God has filled me with love, with joy, with hope, with compassion. He has filled me with a faith that allows me to look death in the face and go, what, you again? Been there, done that, you have no threat to me. The same authority that overcame you the last time will overcome you this time. And determined to be a winner. But Pastor, you're standing there with a pump on your side and an IV in your arm. And so, I'm standing here. I'm excited about God. I'm looking forward to a good steak. Maybe some range rattlers. That's jalapenos that are stuffed with shrimp and cheese. I cannot be defeated. I will not be denied. As long as I have breath, I'm going to decree His glory and His goodness. That ensures that I'll have breath for a long time. My God said that the days of man are 120. I'm not going home at 70. I mean, that's November. No. That's not a way to spend your Thanksgiving weekend. Bye. No, I'm not going home at 70. And at 120, which is the average expectancy for a child of God, not the people in the world, disobedience will get you 70. Obedience will get you 120. But He said, if I honored my father and my mother, and sometimes, Winnie, I did it with gritted teeth. I'm so glad you called me to come up here and settle this fight y'all are having. I rejoice driving 3.5 hours to tell you both that you've got too much invested in this to quit now. And I'm looking forward to the 3.5 hours drive back. But I honored my father and my mother. So He said He would crown me with long life. Now, if 120 is average, what can I do? I plan on being there and going, hey, there He is. Bye, y'all. I'm going to take my first flying lesson. Au natural. Free from all the human entanglements. You know somebody right now that you'd like to look over and see them rising with you. Not look down and see that your opportunity to lead them to the Lord is past and they're spending eternity where you're not. Church, tell someone about God. It doesn't have to be fancy. And please don't memorize the Roman road, the four spiritual laws, or any of that other garbage. Be real. My Bible didn't say, explain the four spiritual laws. Treat them to the Roman road. It said, give account of the hope that lies in you. Can I tell you about a place I'm going to see where the streets are gold? There's a tree of life for the healing of the nations. Rivers of milk and honey. A God who loves me seated on a throne, supplying my every need. He is my light and illuminates all of heaven with His presence. When you share the hope that lies within you, people will listen. When you tell them you're a dastardly sinner and you're going to hell, you and dastardly Dan will burn together. You've just turned them off and they don't want to know you. Share the hope. It's the goodness of the Lord that draws people to repentance. Can you imagine a God who loved you so much that on your most evil day, He was working towards your place in heaven? Not building a mansion for you. That verse is distorted. I don't need a house in heaven as a guarantee. He was preparing a place for me in the family tree. Amen. I am a direct descendant of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. Yes. The Yeshua HaMashiach of God is my elder brother. The Spirit of Truth is my teacher. Yes. And I'm empowered to put everything under my feet. Not everything goes under there instantly, but I keep talking to it till it falls. Make sure you got 5 stones in your bag, not just one. If you miss Goliath on the first one, you can grab another stone. But if you went out depending upon that one stone, you may be up a well-known tributary without means of motivation. Church, God loved you so much, He had someone reach you with the gospel. God wants to express that same love through you to other people. This building could be full today if everybody had one. Now imagine what we would be doing, the ushers scrambling for chairs and seating, if you'd shared the gospel with 4 or 5. Sheep begat sheep. If there's an empty chair, somebody's not doing their job. Find a chair in this building and begin to talk to it. My God is leading me to someone who will fill you. My God is leading me to someone who will fill you. And when you get one chair filled, you get so excited about it, the next 10 or 12 chairs come easy. So the hard part is getting to that first chair. Enlarge the kingdom. Spread the gospel. Prove your worth to God. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs your joy, your hope. Determine, I'm finding my somebody this week. And when you found them and done the work of the ministry, then you'll find another and another. And pretty soon, you'll appear before God, you and your herd, that you've discipled and taught, not led to the Lord, immersed into the Lord. Because when you lead them, you take them under your wing and you teach them what you know. Now, some may be able to teach them what they know in one setting. I hope it's going to take you many settings to teach what you know. Daddy God, we've delivered your word. We've encouraged your saints. We've spoken of your kingdom. Take every word shared this day and emblazon it in the hearts of those who have heard. Father, I decree an army is rising up. An army is rising up and recruiting others and enlarging and enlarging and enlarging and causing Austin to become the revival center of the nation. And from Austin going into all the earth to see the kingdom of God established among all people groups. Thank you for your word, for your promise, for your empowerment. Thank you that you live in us and are living through us and wish to demonstrate yourself on our behalf. I call this people blessed. I decree that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I break, curse, and cast down every lie of darkness arrayed against them and their household. And I praise you that this people comes to greatness. For I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. The people of House of the Lord have jobs when no one else has jobs. Bonuses when no one else has bonuses. Raises when no one else has raises. And daily you load them with blessings. Thank you, Father. You're blessed. Go with God.